It's lovely, isn't it? A lot of people as well turning out to sing tonight. I wanted us to pick up one of the songs that Gillian referred to earlier this evening, Psalm 42. And in fact, Psalm 42 gets two numbers because it's Psalm 43 as well. We'll read it. It's on page 567. It's a nice numerical sequence, isn't it? 567 is our reading. And we'll take a look at that tonight. And we're just going to spend a couple of minutes and then we'll move on. Is that right, Gillian? Yeah. I hope I've got this right. If I'm a little bit disorganized, it's because the clock in the kitchen did not get put forward an hour. So I thought I had about an hour and 15 minutes, and I had 15 minutes to get down here. So I rapidly threw away what I was working on and beat a path to the church. I'd like you to think about the different emotions that come as the psalmist writes this song. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night. While people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to my God, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Vindicate me, my God, and plead my cause against an unfaithful nation. Rescue me from those who are deceitful and wicked. You are my God. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send me your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. There's a very bad joke that says, why do bees hum? And the answer is that they don't know the words. And I suppose that as people, one of the things that sort of differentiates us from other animals, and there are many things, but from the animals, is the fact that it's not just that we make the music, but we make the words as well. There are beautiful songs that come out of nature. Some fabulously deep whale song, just glorious to listen to, isn't it? But there are no words. It's not just words, of course, it's the way that the music gets a hold of us. I was standing at the back because I got here late because I don't know what time it is. And as I was standing at the back, particularly during that first set of songs that we sung, you could see people whom the music was really getting a hold of, and their whole body was moving around in response to the music. I remember once I went to a church in South Africa. I was there over the weekend, and I wandered in on a Sunday morning, and it was a church that was mixed race. So there was sort of every color was there. But when they sang, they moved, and it was just fabulous. Again, I was standing somewhere near the back just to see the way that sort of the music caught people, and they moved so wonderfully to the music. And I guess when we sing, we have this ability to bring together not just the music, but the words and our whole being. I suspect, I don't know, but I suspect that that's why there's so much singing in heaven. And for some people, you know, that's just the most awful prospect, isn't it? Non-stop singing, and you don't enjoy singing. C.S. Lewis didn't understand singing. He didn't enjoy it at all. The only reason he could work out why there was singing was that the good singer standing next to the bad singer could have his grace developed as he put up with the way that the bad singer was singing. And he thought that at that level, perhaps, music was helping to make people a bit more holy. I don't think he's right. I think there's a lot more to the music than that. Deep calls to deep, says verse 7, with the voice of your waterfalls. And there's this sense of calling that comes when we sing together. We call out to other people. Sometimes people write love songs, and they write it initially to the woman they love, maybe, or the man they love, and then they find that they make more money if they sing it to millions of people who would like to be the person that they're in love with or whatever. And the song cries out. The best love songs are written to one person originally, aren't they? There's a cry. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. Isn't that just a fabulous verse? If you've ever been there, I was actually working on some slides. I thought I might do some slides tonight. I hadn't planned to. And then I was working on some slides, and I was going to bring them along. And then when I realized that I didn't have any slide time or any other time, I sort of left them there. But one of the pictures I was going to bring was of Niagara Falls taken from the boat. The last time we went to the States, we went to Niagara Falls, and we went in one of those boats. And when you're down in the water there being thrown around, the sound of the waterfall is absolutely majestic. There's just this deafening roar. We are going to sing Crown Him with Many Crowns later on. And I love that song. I think it's a little bit like, you know, at the cup final, when you stand and they sing, and the whole sort of 100,000 people get together around one song. And I suspect it's going to be like that one day. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. And the crowd starts to sing, and the band wants to play slightly differently, and the crowd doesn't care, does it? The crowd just carries on because the crowd has the volume to make it work. And one day it will be like that. We will crown him with many crowns, and the music will take off, and it will drown all music but its own. I was looking through some of the people who'd written some of the music that we've sung tonight. And there's a tremendous sense of sorrow, actually, about a lot of the hymns that have been written. That cry goes out of people's difficult circumstances. What a friend we have in Jesus. The guy wrote that to his mom, who was going through a very difficult stage, probably near the end of his life. He was a single guy. He'd been going to get married, and his fiancée drowned the day before the wedding. He tried again, went emigrated, fell in love with somebody else, and she died too before they could get married. It's not clear how he died, but people wonder actually whether he drowned himself. At the age of 66, about a month before his 67th birthday. And you don't know whether he ever shook off some of the deep feelings out of which that hymn erupted. What a friend we have in Jesus. Sometimes we think the people who write the songs have the lives easy and they work them out. They don't always. Sometimes they give us some words so that in our difficult times we have something to offer. My troubled soul, Robert Critchley. I looked him up. Hard to find a face of Robert Critchley, actually. He's a contemporary author, but it's hard to find his picture on anything. I tried, took me a long time to get a picture of him. And again, there's times of great joy in their lives, but they lost a child just a few weeks after it was born. If you study entrepreneurial theory, entrepreneurs, people that make a lot of money, very often one of the characteristics that comes up time and time again is some sort of a setback, a family setback, a sense of loss, serious loss in their lives. And as with entrepreneurs, so with songwriters, often there is something there, something that causes them to call out. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. I think Fanny Crosby was blind, wasn't she? We don't know who wrote another one of the songs, but we think it was an Irish saint, Dunstan, something like that. You can Google it when you get home. That's your homework. 6th century. And if it was him, he went blind. What a backdrop to a song that begins, "Be thou my vision." And they've given us words, haven't they, that we can sing in the times when we find life difficult. And we've got a song here. We don't know what the music was. It's only recently that we've been able to write down music and to hand it on from generation to generation in quite that way. And so when the music fades, sometimes all we're left with is the words. And sometimes those words bring us the comfort out of a difficult situation. My soul thirsts. When? So many questions that the psalmist has, and yet out of them he shakes himself and he realizes that he too can call to God in his time of trouble. I don't know what your feeling is tonight. The songs are not just there to lift us for an hour. We sense them draining away as we walk down Windsor Road and get into our cars. It's not really what they're there for. They're there to sustain us in the difficult times of life. People have given us of their experience. Verse 8 is the one that we're going to finish with. By day the Lord directs his love, at night his song is with me. Isn't that fabulous? Something to sing about. By day, by night. By day the Lord directs his love, by night his song is with me. We're going to carry on and sing some more.